Well, welcome back, everyone. We are here with our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, and we are opening up to the book of Romans. Beth, thank you so much for teaching us today. Let's begin.
Hey there, Amy. Well, today we're going to jump back into Romans 6, and we're going to talk more about law and sin and grace. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open. We'll be in Romans chapter 6. Verses 15 through 23. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented yourselves, your members, as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, here is another of those may it be moments that Paul shares. Again, it's a similar argument. Since we can't gain God's acceptance by fulfilling the law, and we're now under grace, shouldn't we just be accepted and stop trying to keep from sinning? Again, Paul isn't going to hide from this argument. Nor is he going to let this method of justifying one's sin go anywhere. Paul continues to remind his readers of the process of sanctification that they are under, and he urges them to live in submission to their new master, Christ. Paul pleads with them not to become entangled again in the sin that they once loved, but has no claim on them now that they are in Christ. We're all slaves to something. There is, in each of our lives, something we have made an idol of. We all serve and worship something. Some of us worship ourselves. Our own comfort or wants or desires are the most important thing in our lives, and when that is threatened, we lash out. I admit that my comfort is sometimes the highest thing on my list, to the point where if someone needs something from me when all I want to do is sit on the couch, I suddenly turn into a 4-year-old, complete with the scrunched up face and the, "Why do I have to do that?" whine. Some of us are slaves to our children. We idolize them to the point where, when they don't meet our expectations for them, our world is shattered. We're angry, resentful of all of the sacrifices that we've made for them and how they have let us down or turned on us. It's ugly when that happens. We can make an idol out of anything, ladies, anything. Don't think you have any idols? Well, look at where you spend most of your time. On the computer? Watching TV? On the internet? On Facebook? Cleaning your house? Shopping? Out with friends? Working, even when you don't have to? I guarantee that 98% of us spend more time doing something besides spending time with God, pondering His Word, and praising Him. In verse 17, the Greek form for the word for teaching or doctrine is the word for mold. Paul is pointing to God pouring His new children into the mold of His divine truth. New believers and believers at all stages should have a desire to know and obey God's word. What does that tell us about our hearts when we put reading God's word last on our to-do list instead of first? I love the emphasis here from Paul on who they once were. He reminds them of where they came from to keep their perspective correct, but he doesn't leave them there either. He doesn't beat them up with their past sins. They once were this way, but they are no longer. Yay, God! When we're slaves to sin, we're slaves to death. We aren't following Him and His path to righteousness. We are no longer slaves to sin when we have come to obey from our heart our Father's commands. When we have been set free from sin, no longer slaves, we become slaves to righteousness. Not because we're following a list of rules, but because of our gratitude, our understanding of what we have been saved from, that we will do whatever He asks with joy and delight. We want to be obedient to the righteousness we have been called to. It's not a burden. Again, Paul repeats what he said yesterday, that we are to present our members as slaves to righteousness. Each part of us, actions, words, thoughts, deeds, gestures, body language, touch, is all to be used to glorify Him, not to bring glory to ourselves. The fruit of our obedience to God is our sanctification and eternal life. When we bring ourselves to Him as an offering, when we truly lift up our lives to Him, we see a new law at work in us, one that bears fruit and does not bring death. The benefit of being slaves to God is sanctification, and it brings eternal life. Now, verse 23 is one that we often hear quoted, but let's pause there a moment today. The wages of sin is death. The wages. Wages are what you earn as a result of your work, your actions. So what we earn as a result of our sin is death. That's our paycheck, death. The free gift, not earned as a result of our actions or works, is from God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Our actions earn us death. Our self-righteousness is hollow. The only righteousness we have is from Christ. It isn't ours. We're undeserving sinners, but it is freely given to us, the only way that we could receive it, when we believe in His Son so that we may have eternal life. So where does that leave us today? Well, I ask you to take a look at your life. Are you living under the guise of, well, I'm under grace. I can keep on sinning without consequence. Who are you presenting yourself to, or what are you presenting yourself to, as a slave? What do you serve? How much time do you give to Him every day? If the answer is 1 hour a week every Sunday, something else is Lord of your life. Something that's not God. Ask yourself, have you been set free from sin, or are you still there? Do you hate the sin you once loved? Or do you still love it, even perhaps while knowing it is a sin? Perhaps you're telling yourself that it doesn't really matter if you just keep doing this one sin. What is Lord of your life? What do you need to give up so that He can take first place in your life? What do you need to cut back on? What do you need to back away from? What are you going to replace that thing that you back away from with? Don't insert a new hobby or book or TV show. Cut out the extra and fill yourself up with the only thing that truly can fill you, Christ. Consider it and then do it. Remember who is supposed to be Lord of your life and then let Him be the Lord of your life. Bend your knee and submit your will to His. Remember the reward of being a slave to Him is of eternal value. The reward of being a slave to sin is your destruction. It matters who or what you worship.
Well, thank you so much, Beth. And remember, ladies, all of the notes and these 10-minute podcasts can be found at naomistable.com under the Bible Studies tab. We will take a break and be right back to talk more about today's lesson.